The following broadcast is brought to you by Sons of God International and Freedom Fellowship Church. Hello, and welcome to the prophetic voice of our time, where we focus on the voice of prophecy, which is the testimony of Jesus Christ. Our host, Christina Sasso, is a senior pastor at Freedom Fellowship Church. Let's hear what she has to say to the body of Christ.
Hello! I want to thank you so much for tuning in. My name is Joshua Sasso, and you are listening to the prophetic voice of our time. I want to encourage all of you continue to press in and thank God for the things that He's doing in this nation and across the church. We have to continue to persist in our faith because God is surely moving. God is going to have His way, and He's going to get glory out of manifesting Himself, out of moving in this nation. What God intends to do in this nation is something that all peoples all around the world, they'll look at what happened in America, and they're going to see the hand of God. They're going to see the move of God here in this nation. So it's really an exciting time that we're living in. And that's what I wanted to talk to you guys about, which is that we need to have the faith to believe in the impossible. It's time for us to believe in the impossible, because what the Lord has done all throughout the scriptures is that in the face of overwhelming odds, in the face of overwhelming corruption and circumstances and all kinds of plotting and all kinds of wars, God shows Himself strong and He shows Himself mighty through His mighty works. And that's what God intends to do in this nation. But before I continue, I just wanted to let you know to keep Pastor Chris in your prayers as she's preparing to, at the end of April, she's going to be in the Philippines for a month, training ministers there, training leaders there, training business leaders to prepare them for the move of God that He's looking to bring in Asia. Just like we're preparing for move of God here in America, she is being sent there to prepare them for a move of God there in the Philippines. So you can really see it as a seed that we as a nation get to sow in other nations for the sake of our own nation, right? We need a move of God here, so we're sowing seeds a preparation and obedience in other nations, so that we'll reap, right? The kingdom of God is all about reaping and sowing. So if you guys, if you're feeling led to support this mission or support this ministry as we're getting ready to expand into other facilities, if you're feeling led of the Lord to support this ministry, then I encourage you to go to our website, sogmi.org, and hit that donate button. We're sowing everything into fertile ground. God is really moving, and it's amazing how far we've been able to take things with the resources given to us. But yes, make sure to keep Pastor Chris in your prayers as she's preparing to go on this mission trip. So as I was talking about before, it's time for us to believe in the impossible. It's true there's a lot of corruption in Washington. It's true there's all kinds of plotting and there's all kinds of influential figures that are doing wicked things. But you know what? They're plotting and they're scheming in vain because the Lord is on His throne. He has power. He has the authority. And He has the final say in what will happen. But it's up to us, the body of Christ, to walk in obedience and step out in faith. And that's the key when it comes to these impossibilities. Peter would never have walked on the water unless he stepped out of the boat in faith to walk towards Jesus. All of us, we have to step out in faith. We have to act in faith. We have to believe the word of the Lord and obey Him. That is the key to seeing the miraculous manifest in your life. And God's glory is going to be shown to all nations. You see, when the Israelites, when the Lord was delivering them from Egypt, He showed all these plagues, He did these miraculous things, and then the first Passover happened and the death of all the firstborn sons in Egypt, and Pharaoh finally let Moses take the people with him. But God led them to a situation where their back was against the wall, right? The waters of the Red Sea were behind them. The desert was on the other side of them with mountains, and they could only get out in one direction. And then they had the armies of the Egyptians coming at them. But the thing is that the Lord actually orchestrated this whole situation so that His people would rely on Him and His glory would be made known to all nations. And this is made evident to us in Exodus chapter 14, verse 1. It says, "Then the Lord said to Moses, tell the Israelites to turn back and encamp near Pi Hahiroth, between Migdol and the sea. They are to encamp by the sea directly opposite of Baal Zephon. Pharaoh will think the Israelites are wandering around the land in confusion, hemmed in by the desert. And I will harden the Pharaoh's heart, and he will pursue them. But I will gain glory for myself through Pharaoh and his army, and the Egyptians will know that I am the Lord. So the Israelites did this, right? So the Israelites didn't just happen to walk into this dead end. The Spirit of God specifically told Moses, lead them, and they're going to camp out by the edge of the Red Sea with the desert hemming them in, with the mountains hemming them in, and the Pharaoh's just going to think, oh, well, they trapped themselves there in this dead end, so I'm just going to go get them. The Lord specifically told them to get into this situation. And what was the reason? He said, but I will gain glory for myself through Pharaoh and his army, and the Egyptians will know that I am the Lord. The Lord used Pharaoh so that he would get glory. And when the Israelites went into Canaan later on, right, the whispers amongst the Canaanites, it's like, oh, these are the same Israelites that their God judged and brought judgment upon Pharaoh and the Egyptians, right? And the fear of the Lord was upon all of Canaan. It is the same in this day. Yes, it looks like a bleak situation, but it's the opportunity for God to show his glory and show himself mightily. But you see, it doesn't just end there, right? Because we know what happens is that Pharaoh falls for the bait, right? God says, you're going to camp over there because Pharaoh's going to think that you're just sitting ducks, and he's going to go in and he's going to attack with all of his chariots. And so the Israelites see Pharaoh coming and they start, you know, crying and complaining. They say in verse 11, was it because there were no graves in Egypt that you brought us to the desert to die? What have you done to us by bringing us out of Egypt? Didn't we say to you in Egypt, leave us alone, let us serve the Egyptians? It would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the desert. All right, so they didn't have faith, but God had to pull them out of this situation to show himself strong, okay? And then Moses answered the people, do not be afraid, stand firm, and you will see the deliverance the Lord will bring you today. The Egyptians you see today, you will never see them again. The Lord will fight for you. You need only be still. And this is true today. When you look at how bleak the circumstances are, whether in your own life, or whether out in the world, okay, you need not be afraid. You stand firm in your faith. And since you've been obeying the Lord, which is what the Israelites were doing, God told them to go there. God told them to do the Passover lamb sacrifice. He told them to go to the Red Sea, right? They have been obeying the Lord. If you've been obeying the Lord, you have no reason to be afraid. The Lord brought you to that situation, just like he brought the Israelites to that situation. And because of that, you will see the deliverance the Lord will bring you. And those corrupt figures, all those corrupt institutions, right? All those things that have been enslaving and persecuting the body of Christ, just as Moses said, you're not going to see those Egyptians anymore. We're not going to see those problems anymore. The Lord has already said, if the body of Christ would focus on the Lord and obey him and unite, that America will have its most righteous government that it's ever had, even since its founding. Okay? That's a dramatic and impossible kind of thing, but it's exactly the kind of word that the Lord God Almighty would speak. Just like he did back then, he is still working and moving today. So stand firm, obey the Lord, and stand firm in your faith, and you will see the deliverance of the Lord. And that's exactly what happens, right? The Egyptians start coming in, and the Lord commands Moses, right? You're going to lift up your staff, and the Lord parts the Red Sea. And the Israelites are able to cross over as on dry ground. And when the Pharaoh pursues them, all the armies, all the Pharaoh, all their chariots, it didn't matter how many resources they had, they were all swept away in one fell swoop. This is the kind of miraculous things that God is going to be doing in this day. It's time we believe the Lord for the impossible. But since we're talking about faith in action and we're talking about believing in the impossible, one of the important things to remember, though, is that when we're believing God for the impossible, it's not something that we come up with. Oh, yeah, I'm going to believe God for the impossible. I'm going to believe that I'm going to get this. I'm going to believe I'm going to get this. Right? And we have our laundry list of things that we want and we've been praying for and we've been asking the Lord to do for us. When we're talking about believing the impossible, we have to remember that it was the Lord God who orchestrated these things and promised these things. This is where the larger-than-life move of God comes from. You see, when God called Abram, before he was named Abraham, God was the one who told Abraham, I'm going to make you a father of many nations. I'm going to bless those who bless you and curse those who curse you. And through you, all the nations on earth will be blessed, right? It wasn't Abraham who came up with this. And this is really a corruption of kind of the faith doctrine that's been in the church for years, which is this kind of name it and claim it kind of idea. Oh, I want this, so I'm going to name it and claim it. I'm going to stand on firm. I'm going to get this. I'm going to get this house. I'm going to get this plane or whatever. No, it's not something that we come up with. Oh, God, I want this, so I'm going to believe you're going to get it to me. Abraham didn't ask for being the father of many nations, but the Lord gave it to him, and Abraham believed in him. The impossible things that we believe in and stand firm in faith are all based on the word that the Lord has spoken. This is the most important thing. You see, and the amazing thing, though, especially in the case of Abraham, Abraham probably just wanted a son so that he had an heir, right? Him and his wife, they were getting old. They couldn't have any more children. So Abraham probably would have been happy just to have a son, right? And maybe that's what he had been praying to the Lord for and hoping for. But what the Lord does is he comes in with something far greater and far grander. He makes it so that Abraham would be the father of many nations. And now in this day, we're all adopted sons and daughters of Abraham. So the calling of the Lord was so much greater than anything Abraham would have imagined for himself. It is true in this day. Many of us, maybe we have simple wants and simple desires. But the calling the Lord has for us is that he's raising many of you up as kings and rulers to transform history for generations to come, just like history was forever changed with Abraham, and it was forever changed with David, and it was forever changed with Moses. God called them to something greater, and they left their mark on the course of history. It is true in this day, and those are the kinds of people who through their faith saw the impossible come to pass. Because when the Lord spoke to them, they believed the Lord. It is those people who hear the voice of the Lord and believe him and obey him and go all in that will see the Lord move mightily in their lives. It's not this sort of, I want this, and so God, I'm going to believe you're going to give it to me, right? We are not the ones who dictate the move of God. But I promise you this, whatever it is that you think you want, what the Lord has for you is better. It truly is. So in Genesis chapter 17, okay, and this is starting with verse 1, it says, when Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and said this. And so let me tell you this, it's never too late for you to start listening and obeying God, right? He was 99 years old when God speaks to him and makes this promise, okay? So don't think it's too late for you. You can start being used miraculously by God today, no matter how old you are, no matter how young you are, okay? So Abram was 99 years old. The Lord appeared to him and said this, I am the Lord God Almighty. Walk before me faithfully and blameless. Then I will make my covenant between me and you and will greatly increase your numbers. Abram fell face down and God said to him, as for me, this is my covenant with you. You will be the father of many nations. No longer will you be called Abram. Your name will be Abraham. For I have made you the father of many nations, which is what Abraham means. And this is an example of how Abraham, he truly embodied walking by faith, because his very name and his very identity was transformed by the word of the Lord. When the Lord said, you're the father of many nations, this is your new name, Abraham took that on. He no longer called himself Abram, he called himself Abraham. And when we walk by faith, we have to understand that we have to completely take on the new identity that the Lord has given us. What that means is that you'll think differently, you'll walk differently, you'll talk differently. Every part of your life will be affected by your obedience to God. And the truth is that those who walk by faith, they don't come out unchanged. Because often it's the case where the Lord will try, or the Holy Spirit will try to push you in a direction, right? And it's really the old man. You want to hold on to your old habits. You want to hold on to your old ways of thinking. You want to hold on to your old ways of entertaining yourself, of solving problems, when piece by piece, God is trying to craft a new identity for you. He's showing you, look, you're a king. I've raised you up as a ruler, right? David was a shepherd. God called him a king. Gideon was an ordinary man. God called him a military strategist and leader, right? A great warrior. And Abraham was childless, and God called him the father of many nations. But you have to take on that identity. You have to say, God, who you say I am that. But it's not just enough to say that. You have to really internalize it to the core of your being, where every part of your mindset, every part of your action starts to change. And many Christians, they first start to experience this. You know, when they first get saved, they realize, oh my gosh, the way that I've thought about these things is completely wrong. The way I've spoken about these things is really wrong. And then when you're engaging with the Holy Spirit, sometimes you'll notice the Holy Spirit correct you. In my own life, the Holy Spirit will correct me and say, oh, well, you know, a king's not supposed to think like that, right? An executive's not supposed to have this kind of mindset. Or the calling that I have for you is you're not supposed to speak that way. And it's like, oh my gosh. And then I have to repent and I have to relearn how to speak about certain things. I have to relearn how to think about certain things. But if you're not allowing the Holy Spirit to transform you in that way, you're not actually walking by faith, right? That means you're stubbornly hanging on to the old man that God's trying to kill. And so when God touches your heart, when God calls you out from your place of comfort, you have to be transformed. It's inevitable. Nobody encounters the Lord Almighty and does not come back changed. And if you have not yet been transformed, maybe that means you still need to have that fresh encounter with God. So make it your goal. You know what, God? I'm going to pursue you so that I will encounter you. Okay? So when we walk by faith, you have to completely take on that identity that the Lord gives you. Just like in the case with Abraham, his very name got changed. So in Genesis 17, verse 6, he says, I will make you very fruitful. I will make nations of you, and kings will come from you. I will establish my covenant as an everlasting covenant between me and you and your descendants after you, and for generations to come, to be your God and the God of your descendants after you. So not only was Abraham blessed, but his family and his descendants and all of his descendants after him were blessed by his obedience. And we can still be thankful to Abraham for that. Verse 8, the whole land of Canaan, where you now reside as a foreigner, I will give you as an everlasting possession to you and your descendants after you, and I will be their God. And this is something that we've been talking about. In this day, the body of Christ basically resides as foreigners in all of these industries, in entertainment, in media, in news, in politics, healthcare, education, science and technology. We are not the ones that are ruling and reigning. Many times we're serving wicked and unbelieving people. The land of Canaan was a land that was ruled by pagans and people who did all kinds of witchcraft and all kinds of idolatrous nations. Okay? But the Lord said to Abraham, this land that right now you're not ruling and reigning in, I have set it aside and I'm going to give it to you as an everlasting possession. This is what the Lord is looking to do in this day, that we, the body of Christ, would begin through our obedience to the Lord to step into these positions of influence. Because through that influence, we will bring a revival the likes of which the world has never seen. But then afterwards, the Lord gives him these instructions that Abraham is to follow. Then God said to Abraham, as for you, you must keep my covenant, you and your descendants after you for generations to come. This is my covenant with you and your descendants after you. The covenant you are to keep. Every male among you shall be circumcised. You are to undergo circumcision, and it will be a sign of the covenant between me and you. For generations to come, every male among you who is 8 days old must be circumcised, including those born in your household or bought with money from a foreigner, those who are not your offspring. Whether born in your household or bought with your money, they must be circumcised. My covenant in your flesh is to be an everlasting covenant. Any uncircumcised male who has not been circumcised in the flesh will be cut off from his people. He has broken my covenant. And God also said to Abraham, as for your wife, she is no longer to be called Sarai. Her name will be Sarah. And I will bless her and will surely give you a son by her. And I will bless her so that she will be the mother of nations. Kings of peoples will come from her. And then God talks about Ishmael and the princes that will come from Ishmael. But these are the instructions the Lord gave him. You need to ensure that you're circumcised, and every male in your household, whether by blood or not, needs to be circumcised. So it says in verse 23, on that very day, Abraham took his son Ishmael, and all those born in his household or bought with his money, every male in his household, and he circumcised them, as God told him. This is the kind of faith and obedience Abraham had. The Lord said, I'm going to bless you. You're going to be the father of many nations. This is your new identity. Keep this covenant of circumcision with me. That very day, Abraham obeys the Lord, and he makes sure that everyone in his household also obeyed the Lord. This is what faith looks like in action, and this is exactly the kind of faith Abraham had. When the Lord said, leave your father's household and leave everyone behind, next day, Abraham leaves. When the Lord says, you need to offer to me and sacrifice to me your son, Isaac, whom you love. The scripture says, early the next day, Abraham leaves with Isaac and sets out to the place that the Lord appointed for him. Abraham never delayed his obedience. He never postponed it, never made up any excuses. When the Lord said, this is what I need you to do, and I will bless you if you do this, Abraham didn't delay for a second. This is the kind of attitude we have to have in this day. And unfortunately, this is one of the biggest problems we have here in America in particular. The Lord will lead us to do something, we'll delay, we'll postpone. Oh, I'll get to it when I get to it. Oh, you know, well, I'm kind of busy right now, I'll do it later. We don't prioritize the instructions of God. And in doing so, we're not treating him as holy, and we're not acting in faith. You have to understand, the thing that the Lord is offering to us in this day is something so far beyond anything you can imagine. It is such a precious gift that the Lord is giving us. And you have to imagine, if somebody says, hey, if you meet me at 5 a.m. tomorrow morning, I'm going to give you $10 million, and you really believe them, you'd probably be there, you'd probably spend the night there, because you believed what they said. What the Lord is telling us now is far, far, far more valuable than any material good or any kind of riches or resources, and it's something that will last for generations. And if we really believe that, when the Lord says, this is the covenant you have to keep, these are the instructions you have to follow, we wouldn't delay, we would obey with everything that we have. And this is part of what it looks like to believe the impossible, right? Because Abraham might think, well, what does circumcision have to do with me being the father of many nations? What does that even have to do with anything? But we have to remember, the most important thing is our faith and obedience. That's what matters. And that's the kind of faith that Abraham had. And if you read the story of Abraham, you'll see he made missteps along the way. I mean, he outright lied to some people and did all kinds of things wrong. But despite this, because of his great faith in God, and he revered the Lord and obeyed the Lord with everything in him, the Lord was very protective of Abraham. Even when Abraham messed up, God covered him and saved him, because Abraham was the kind of person who, when the Lord said, this is what you need to do, Abraham did it. And he didn't let anyone talk him out of it. That's the kind of faith we need in this day. And let me tell you, it is the extent to how passionately and how completely and fervently you obey God, the extent to which you do that, that is the extent to how far you will go in being a part of this move of God, how far you will go in being a part of the transfer of wealth, influence, and affluence, because you're showing the Lord you are trustworthy and that you truly believe him. When you say, oh, Lord, you give me the instruction, I'm going to run with it, I'm going to push, and I'm going to push, and I'm going to push, and I'm going to push as far as I can go, because you said it, Lord. We have to begin running with the instructions that the Lord has given us and not allow anyone to deter us from doing it. Whether they're family members or dear friends, the Lord has to be first in our life. And it's people who take that attitude, people who truly believe in faith and stand firm in that faith, that will be the movers and shakers in this new generation. So I encourage you, this day you can choose to serve the Lord. This day you can decide, I'm going to stand up in faith. And when you do that, remember, you're going to be transformed as a result, but the Lord will take you further than you ever could have imagined. And so believe in the Lord. It's time for us to believe in the impossible. Amen? So I want to thank you so much for tuning in. Continue again to keep us and keep Pastor Chris in prayer as she's getting ready to set out for the Philippines in May. So cover her in prayer. And if the Lord is leading you to sow a seed in that ministry, don't forget to go to our website, sogmi.org. I want to thank you so much for tuning in today's broadcast. I hope it's really touched your heart and put an impression upon you that you'll begin obeying the Lord. Amen. So again, my name is Pastor Joshua Sasso, and you've been listening to the prophetic voice of our time.
Thanks for tuning in. You've been listening to the prophetic voice of our time. We really hope you were blessed by today's episode. And if you were, we want to hear from you. You can call us at 210-695-1630. Or you can email us at sogmi@outlook.com. That's sogmi@outlook.com. And we really encourage you to visit our website, sogmi.org. That is sogmi.org. That's where you can listen to previous episodes of this podcast and even support this broadcast. We're supported by listeners just like you. So if you want to support this ministry, you can go to sogmi.org and hit the donate button. You can also send a check to P.O. Box 1579, Helotes, Texas 78023. Again, that is P.O. Box 1579, Helotes, Texas 78023.